this to the man. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in Colorado, in the nation, nay, in the world. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. I am Doug McBurney, sitting in today as Bob is participating, as you might imagine, in the big Earth Day celebrations going on throughout the planet. So Bob couldn't be here in the studio. I think he actually calls this the Share the Gospel with Your Favorite Dirt Worshipper Day. And I think he is out traveling around the city, picking up handfuls of dirt, approaching dirt worshipers, and engaging them in a conversation about what is really worthy of worship. And that's very important work, as so many of the young people today, and even some of the older people. I mean, how old is the President of the United States? He's in his late 40s, and I think he's a dirt worshiper. You know, people worry that he might be some kind of secret Muslim or something like that. I don't think so. I think he's just a humanist dirt worshiper like the rest. And hopefully he'll have an opportunity someday to come in contact with Bob Enyart. And Bob can explain to him what is worthy of worship and what is not. Now, I'm going to be sitting in today. I've got a few news stories that I'm going to cover. We're going to talk about another new Democratic administration and another high-profile death. It's just sad. Out there in Virginia, we've had an incident, and we're going to cover that just a little bit. And we're going to talk about how the recession, this current recession that we're in, hopefully you're working and you're not really aware that there's a recession going on, but there is a recession going on, and apparently it is affecting the procreation of our progeny. And I'm going to look into that. And we're going to also talk about the folks who want to legalize homosexual marriage, they're just pouring out of the closet left and right. You can't stop it. You need a snow shovel to try and put them back in the closet. They're just pouring out everywhere. We're going to talk about that a little bit later in the broadcast. But I want to start out. The Bob Enyart Live open house is rapidly approaching. And now, if you don't have a pencil, grab a pencil, grab a piece of paper, because you're going to want to write down some pertinent information. The Bob Enyart Live studios will be open to the public, along with the entire campus there at the Maranatha Christian Center, tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd, starting at 6 p.m. It's going to go to 8:30 p.m. If you want to come and see a real radio studio, and if you want to see a great Christian school, because a lot of you folks, maybe you're still sending your kids to the public schools, let me just put it this way. If you get a chance to go out to Maranatha and you have an opportunity to meet some folks who are dedicated to educating your children in the fear and the knowledge of the living God, the truth of the creation of the universe, the truth about the spirit of men and the spirit of God, if you have an opportunity to meet those folks, you might think twice about sending your kids to the public school factory that you may be currently sending them to. So I would encourage you to go down and visit Maranatha. You can stop by. You can see the studios of Bob Enyart Live. And you can interact with some folks who are dedicated to educating children in a manner that honors God. And don't we all need a little bit more of that these days? So many folks I meet, they send their kids to the public schools. And, you can just tell. You can tell the kids who go to the public schools from the kids who are homeschooled, from the kids who go to the Christian school. You can really tell the difference, especially in my neighborhood. You know, we moved into our neighborhood, and there were, I don't know, half a dozen kids within a reasonable age of my daughter who she interacted with for some period of time. But her interactions have grown less and less frequent, because the kids are just brats, not only to the adults, but to each other. And I know a lot of that is a result of their heathen, foolish, ignorant parents who have no relationship with God, who have no knowledge of God, who have no interest in getting to know God. I know a lot of the blame lays with the parents. But I can't help but observe that as the children return to the public schools every year, and this is now we've gone 2 years now where the kids have gone back to public school, and their attitude just seems to change. They just seem to get meaner, just meaner and more rotten as they go through, progress through the school year. And then they have the summer off, and it seems that through the summer, they seem to calm down a little bit. They're just not as antagonistic and mean. But, you know, within a couple of weeks of going back to school, my daughter, Nicole, who's seven, she's coming home, and I'm saying, well, I thought you guys were going to play out in the yard. And she says, yeah, well, you know, so-and-so's really being a jerk, and so-and-so's being mean, and I'd rather hang out with you, Dad. And that's fine with me. I'm all for that. So come on down to the open house. The entire campus of Maranatha will be open Thursday, April 23rd, 6 p.m. to 8:30. That's tomorrow night. You can come. You can hang out in the 50s Diner. Have some inexpensive food that tastes great. Have some root beer floats. And you can even come and chat with Bob. You might have to stand in line, but you can come and chat with Bob. And you can check out the new BEL studios. They're fabulous. It's awesome. So it's out at 72nd and Oak. 72nd and Oak in Arvada. Just north of I-70 on Kipling. Google it. Maranatha Christian Center. Go to, is it maranatha.com? Well, I hope it is. Just Google Maranatha Christian Center, and you can figure out how to get there. And you can come see the new studios. And if you're sending your kids to public school, well, you could get an education and perhaps get some inspiration and get your kids out of the public school. Please, please get your kids out of the public school. Okay, and a little more housekeeping here. The Hermeneutics Seminar is coming up as well, April 29th at Denver's Brown Palace. Come on down and enjoy Bob's Hermeneutics Seminar. Hermeneutics, you know what those are. At first, I thought it was a guy named Herman, but it's not. It's tools for studying the Bible, and there's 16 of them. And Bob actually gave me a list of them that I have here in front of me, and it's very interesting. What do you think the top three hermeneutics would be? Now, a hermeneutic is a tool for studying the Bible. Studying that would, one would think, would lead to understanding. So a tool for studying and understanding the Bible. What do you think the top three are? We'll get back to that a little later in the broadcast. But registration for the hermeneutic seminar, you better hurry up because it's filling up fast. We have limited space. It's only $30 per person, and we count a person as anyone from the moment of the beginning of their biological life. And now, that's not to say that if you're pregnant and you're carrying the child, that we're going to charge you for that person. No, we will acknowledge that that is a person, but we will let that person in free. What a bargain. And who's to say we're not liberal? All right, so $30 a person. That's for all persons. And $50 for a couple. That's if you're a man and a woman. Now, I'm not sure if you have to be legally married. I know you have to be legally a man and a woman. Don't know if you have to be legally married. You could be courting, I suppose. We'll have to review those on a case-by-case basis. And we may assign a chaperone to you at the door if you are coming in. But $50 per couple, male and female, he made them. And if you can't attend, which there's really no reason for you not to attend, it's only $30. It's at the Brown Palace. It's a fabulous environment. Some outstanding, phenomenal teaching to help you study and understand the Scripture. And couldn't we all use more of that? But if you can't attend for some bizarre, strange reason, you can't attend. You can purchase the Hermeneutics Seminar on CD, but it's really not the same as being there and seeing it live. Now, the seminar on CD is $35. For $30, you can come and you can hear it live. And every time Bob does a seminar, you know, there's more stuff and there's new things that have come to light, that have come into his understanding. And so you really want to get the updated version and come out and visit us live. And that is going to be April 29th at 6:30, write this down, at the Brown Palace Hotel. Now, you can call and register at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. You can come and you can register. You can call, I'm sorry. And I suppose you could come down. If you come down to the open house and you want to register, just bring your checkbook, bring your credit card. We'll get you set up so that you can go down to the hermeneutics seminar on April 29th at 6:30 p.m. out at the beautiful and historic Brown Palace Hotel. So the top three of the 16 hermeneutics identified in Bob Enyart's hermeneutics seminar, they all have to do with God, interestingly enough. Number one, the number one hermeneutic for understanding the Bible, in fact, is God. Getting to know God. Knowing who God is will help you understand God's Word. Knowing the author will help you understand His book. So number one is God. Number two is His story. Number three is His nature. Now, I hope I'm not giving away too much by letting these out here on the air. But there are another 13 hermeneutics that you'll want to learn about. And it's quite fascinating and will definitely help you to understand the scriptures. So we hope to see you all out there. We hope to see you at the open house tomorrow night out at Maranatha Christian Center and at the hermeneutics seminar at the beautiful Brown Palace Hotel. Now let me get, I wanted to get, you know, I woke up this morning and it was weird. It was like it was 1993 all over again. It's just bizarre. It's as if we've gone back into a time warp. And I'm not only talking about the fact that our esteemed president has appointed, you know, most of the people who were appointed back in 1992 by Bubba Bill Jeff Clinton. I mean, half the Clinton administration or three quarters of it are now the Obama administration. So that alone will make you feel like you've gone back in a time warp. But I woke up this morning, and there's an apparent suicide, which is sad. It's very sad. I've got an AP Wire report that talks about the chief financial officer of Freddie Mac was found dead in his basement early this morning in what police said was an apparent suicide. The guy's name is David Kellerman, and apparently he's been working for Freddie Mac for a good 16 years. And so I suppose if you participate in a scam and a Ponzi scheme for enough years, eventually enough guilt builds up that you just want to end it all. But I really want to know, where was Hillary Clinton and where was Barney Frank? I want to know their whereabouts at about 4 o'clock this morning, because apparently that's when the police were called. And just to clear things up, okay, I'm not casting any aspersions or any suspicions, but just to clear things up early on, we just want to make sure, where exactly was Hillary and where exactly was Barney? Because we don't want questions to linger as they have in the past. Now, you all know Barney Frank is the, you know, he'll probably go down in history as the architect of the greatest financial disaster in the history of, well, maybe in the history of civilization. I mean, I guess we have to see how far this thing rides out. I'm sure Barney is quite worried that there's an awful lot of people who know an awful lot of things about him that would embarrass him. If you could believe that Barney Frank could be embarrassed by anything, I think he could be only embarrassed by his imprudent, illegal, immoral financial dealings, since he's obviously not embarrassed by anything on a personal level, being what he is and all of that. All right, so we'll get our crack staff working on that, finding out the whereabouts of those two particular persons to make sure that we get all this cleared up. But these are tough times. I mean, look, this guy basically, it looks like he hung himself in his basement because he participated in the destruction of America, you know, and that's tough times. Times are tough out there. And in fact, I was reading a story this morning that is a little bit disturbing. This is from the Reuters Wire, and it talks about the fact that the current recession may be linked to an increase in both abortions and vasectomies. Yeah. The recession, according to Reuters, may be a factor influencing more Americans to opt out of parenthood with abortions and vasectomies, although there is no data available yet to suggest a trend, according to Reuters. Even so, there is some anecdotal evidence that would-be parents are factoring the rough economic times into the most personal of reproductive choices. And I've had a theory most of my adult life, well, at least for the last, for the last 8 years, I suppose. I've made my living in various ways, hawking and selling various wares. And every time I've had a child, so far, my income has increased. And I've gotten on my knees and I've thanked the living God for the blessing of my children, because they're a joy and a blessing in my life. And looking at them and meditating on the responsibility I have to educate them, to protect them, and to feed and clothe them and all those other things that cost money. When I meditate on that, I become encouraged. I become motivated. I'm able to find more motivation to do more things. And hence, by happenstance, I've made more money over the years, every time I have a child. So my wife and I have a plan for the next several years in order to increase my income. We want to end up in one of those really high, way up there brackets eventually. And we figure it's probably going to take somewhere between 5 and 11 children to get me there. And so we're on a plan right now, and we're working our way through that plan. We just had our third child. Little Alexis arrived on April 17th, right over the lunch hour on Friday. She's already a very convenient child. She's quiet, very demure. I understand that maybe I don't see all of the ins and outs of the difficulties that there are with a days-old child. I know that my wife is not sleeping as much as I am, and she's working a little bit harder in this particular respect at this current time. But it's just been a joy so far. Third one's a charm, they say, right? Well, she certainly is. And anyway, our plan and our outlook, our worldview, if you might call it, seems to be at odds with at least with the folks at Reuters and the people that they're covering in this article. By the way, according to the Reuters story, in 2005, the last year for which data is available, the U.S. abortion rate fell to the lowest level since 1974. That's according to the Guttmacher Institute out there in New York, and they are a nonprofit group focused on reproductive issues. Well, that's semi-accurate. Guttmacher Institute is a nonprofit group that focuses on documenting the slaughter of now going into the second generation of America's progeny. They document it, they facilitate it, they study it, they worship it. It's a very, very evil organization, the Guttmacher Institute out there. And they're a nonprofit, which means you can make donations to them and you can write it off your taxes, which is interesting. Interesting that a group that documents the veritable Holocaust against the youth of America, half of which are women, being slaughtered, innocent people, an institute that documents, facilitates, studies, advises on how to most effectively slaughter a generation of children, has the status of a nonprofit group in the United States of America today. It's just bizarre. Yeah. And now back to the article. The Reuters article tells us that the National Abortion Federation, which I'm not sure who they are, but I think they're probably the bad guys. They have a hotline for women seeking abortion information. Yeah, see, I was right. They're the bad guys. And they say their phone's been ringing off the hook. One of their spokespersons said, quote, "We are currently getting more calls from women who report that they or their partner have recently lost their job. And we're also hearing from more women facing eviction." And I'm sure over there at the National Abortion Federation, they're just giddy about the fact that the current economy seems to be encouraging or motivating a certain strata of our society to kill their children. Now, I've got to be honest with you, folks. I've my entire life, I've never worried that much about money. I mean, there's been times when I was broke, And I even lived in my car for a while. And my wife did too, as a matter of fact. We actually lived in a car. And not a big car either. It was a Daihatsu, a three-cylinder. Yeah. You know, most freezers have more cubic feet of storage space than that car had, and we lived in it. But we never wanted to kill anybody. And had we become pregnant at the time, I probably would have been a lot more motivated to get a job, for crying out loud. Certainly wouldn't have thought about killing anybody over it. But that's just depressing, you know. But as human beings, we are physical beings, and it's easy to become scared when you lose a job, when you lose 60% of your retirement in the stock market. It's easy to become scared. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you have yet to understand the good news of the gospel, and that you have not only the ability to access the grace of the living God of the universe to get you through the hard times, but also you have an obligation to the people around you to not become a total loser. You know, God doesn't like losers. He doesn't like people who give up. He doesn't like people who think it's too tough. And he doesn't appreciate people who kill innocent people for their own convenience or out of fear. So if you have no relationship with God, you don't understand the order of creation and where you fit into it, I suppose it's really easy to get scared and decide that strangling off your progeny is the best way to preserve the current lifestyle to which you've become accustomed. I myself cannot even comprehend that. In fact, even as an unbeliever, back in the days when I was just a wandering heathen and a fool, I never thought about killing a baby. Never, I don't think I could have ever done that. So, but an entire generation now, especially of young women, have been deceived into thinking that the arrival of a child is something to be feared and something that is going to upset your life to the point where you may become mentally damaged, psychologically damaged, instead of looking at the child as an opportunity to realize your potential by helping another person, an innocent, helpless person. You know, if you have an opportunity, if you're scared and you're worried about the future, and now here is this helpless, naked, innocent child who's totally relying on you. It gives you an opportunity to ponder the significance of your life, because now here's someone who needs you. So to me, a child would be an incredible motivating factor. In fact, an event in your life that could be the impetus that causes you to improve your life beyond your wildest dreams. Yet our young people in this country today have been convinced instead to snuff out not only the life of that innocent child, but to snuff out the potential, their very own potential, to become everything that they should be and could be, and to be happy and wealthy and free of the kind of worry that would lead one to kill another innocent person. Oh, and there's more in here. Well, there's about 500,000 men, according to this Reuters article, opt for vasectomies in the United States each year. 500,000 men opt for vasectomies each year. That's just bizarre to me. I mean, am I strange? Maybe I'm the one who's strange. But that is just stunning that 500,000 men. I mean, what are you thinking about with that? I just don't get it. All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on, because that's kind of depressing to think that that's where the culture is. You know, that worry about money would lead someone to do something like that. But apparently that's where we are. Apparently that is where we have come. Homosexual marriage. They're pouring out of the closets, ladies and gentlemen. Grab the snow shovels. Try to push them back in. Forget about it. Dateline from the Associated Press, Augusta, Maine. A legislative hearing to extend gay marriage to Maine took on the atmosphere of a religious revival on Wednesday as ministers made impassioned speeches for and against the bill before thousands of cheering spectators packed into a civic arena. The Judiciary Committee hearing there in Maine, ladies and gentlemen, drew so much interest that traffic was snarled early in the day as both legislators and spectators gathered there at the Capitol. Gay marriage supporters, according to the article, hoping to build on momentum in the region, arrived wearing red, and they gave a standing ovation to the bill's sponsor, Senator Dennis Damon. Just want to make sure for the record that the name of Senator Dennis Damon is out there, because he opened the hearing, he sponsored the bill, and he will be held responsible on Judgment Day. The right senator there will be. Damon, by the way, is a Democrat from Trenton. Trenton, I guess, Maine. He said to a roar of approval, he said, "This bill is fair. This bill's time has come. It recognizes the worth and dignity of every man and every woman among us." Damon's proposal, by the way, there in Maine, is backed by more than 60 legislative co-sponsors, and it would repeal a state law that limits marriage to a man and a woman and replace it with one that authorizes marriage between any two people. And my question to Senator Damon is, why only two people? I mean, you've already broken down pretty much the last remaining restraint against probably the Antichrist appearing, at least in my opinion. You've pretty much broken down the last wall restraining 1,000 years of darkness. Where do you get off limiting marriage to any two people? I mean, how do you come to that? And how long will it be before you compromise on that? My guess is it won't be too long. Anyway, I don't want to talk about the homo marriage anymore. It's very depressing. I do want to mention that apparently the gay rights marriage activist types, they have a goal to have all of New England legalize homosexual marriage by 2012. So I want to put all of our all of the folks who think like me, you know, homos make me sick, make me want to puke. All folks like that, we've only got until 2012 before we've got to get all of our brothers and sisters out of New England. All right, we're almost out of time. I want to mention again, the open house, Thursday, April 23rd, 6 o'clock at Maranatha Christian Center. Write it down, Google it. You can figure out how to get there. Come on down, join us. We'll have 50s music and root beer. You'll be able to tour Maranatha Christian School, and you'll also be able to tour the Bob Enyart Live Studios. And if you're lucky enough, you might actually get to talk to Bob. And also, give us a call, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Register for the Hermeneutics Seminar. Find out what the other 13 hermeneutics are and have those first three explained in depth. I want to thank Bob Enyart for allowing me to sit in today. My name's Doug McBurney. Come on out and visit Maranatha. And go to our website, kgov.com. And